Praise the Lord. Uh-oh. It's spreading. It's contagious. Jesus is contagious, eh? Today is a celebration. It started on the 11th. It'll finish the 13th of Shavuot. I'm not going to speak about it, but I want to mention it. Those involved in secular Judaism really don't observe this. It's more for, if I could say, the believing remnant, and it celebrates the harvest. And in Deuteronomy 8:8, it talks about the seven things that would be celebrated in. It's some call it first fruits, and it's also when they celebrate the law being given. You know, without the Bible, we're in trouble. I don't know if you know that, but just take that with you. Home today. But without the Bible as a standard, as a grid, we're in deep trouble. And God gave the commandments. He gave the word of God out of relationship, not religion. God is not a God of religion. There's a pure religion, and we see that mentioned. Take care of the widow and the orphan, and, you know, to love on the stranger and the foreigner. But you know, God gave his word out of relationship. He gives his spoken word out of relationship. He is the word. He gave the written word. He is the word. And he gives us his spoken word. And a lot of times, you know, in case you missed it, this is what he says: I love you. And it's a big revelation to get that. There's people they'll fight their whole life against the idea God loves them. It's a powerful truth. And God loved us so much, out of relationship with Moses. He talked with Moses face to face. He talked with Moses different than he did any other man, it says. He talks with him face to face in a dispensation when man didn't have that opportunity. As a matter of fact, Moses had the opportunity even to see God. He got to see the backside of him, because if he saw the frontal face of God, he would have died. So the mercy of God, he let him experience his glory. Amazing. And today he allows us to experience his glory through the face of Christ. Jesus Christ is the best potential friend you have. I say potential because he's all willing, but it's our choice to say yes. And so in those, the wheat, the barley, the grapes, the figs, the pomegranates, and the olives and dates, we see God loves fruit, and he wants fruit to come out of our life. But fruit comes out of our life as we live in the Word, and that's Jesus. Not negating the health that comes in our life. How many want to be healthy? Raise your hand if you want a healthy life. Then you need to read the Bible, because the Bible says that it brings health to our bones. I need to read the Bible too. I need to read the Bible more than I do. Not out of religious conviction, but out of relationship. I want to know more about him and the ways of God. So it's just a commercial this morning as we celebrate Shavuot. I want to talk about God's favor called peace. In Luke chapter 2, we got a very interesting scripture, 2:14. It says, when the angels come to the shepherds in the field, they announce, but they say, glory to God in the highest heaven. Do you know there's a highest heaven? If there's a highest heaven, that means there's a lower heaven. And where we live is the first heaven. It's called earth. The second heaven is where angelic forces fight against fallen angel forces. Okay? And for a while, you know, Satan has some limited dunamis, power, and influence. And then the third heaven, we see that it's the throne. It's the throne room of God. It's where the 24 elders are. And it says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. I wonder if the favor of God rests upon you in the form of peace. Do you know that you can work really hard to stay in fear or agitation or anxiety? People I meet work really hard to stay in anxiety. They let their mind go overtime to think about everything negative that could happen or has happened. Can I tell you, Scripture is very clear. Whatsoever a man thinks, he is. That's what the Bible says. Very clearly in Scripture. So what about you? Who are you? Are you a person that's received the favor of God? Because God's given his favor through Jesus Christ. However, I can limit that by the degree I accept that. How about Jesus? You know, let's just say, you know, Jesus is an all or nothing kind of guy. He gave it all. And all he expects from us is a reception. Say yes. You know, I've found in my life, I've tried to work hard to get God's favor when I already have it. All I got to do is receive him. How about you? Have you found that to be true? I'm working for what I already have. I have his favor. I just have to yield to that. I have to receive that. God has given us this amazing son of his, Jesus. There's nobody, there's nothing, there's no place like Jesus. The opposite of, you know, of fear, they say, you know, is faith. The opposite of fear is peace. In Isaiah 9:6, he is Sar Shalom. His title is Prince of Peace. That's who has come into your life if you've said yes. The enemy tries for us to believe a distraction and live a lie. He's the father of lies, so he wants you to live a lie. Living in fear and having Jesus is living in a lie. It doesn't really exist in the kingdom. I fear God, but I shouldn't fear other things. There's no need to worry or be anxious. If I'm in Christ, and he is the supreme of all, what am I really freaking out about? Really, what freaks you out? Like the muffins in the oven and they're going to burn and cause the house to go on fire and then the firemen aren't going to have enough water? I mean, come on, dude. Where do we go with this, you know? And then it burns up my neighbor's house and then, you know, little Fido, he can get out of the fire. So now I've killed my neighbor's dog and then it's in the newspapers and they all know I was an idiot because I shouldn't have been having muffins because I'm sugar-free and gluten-free. And my muffins had gluten. Now everybody knows that. I mean, we just, you know, we run rampant with this thinking, don't we? Unbelievable. John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. That's Satan's MO. That's his operating whole belief system. So my alternative, not to line up with that, is to line up with the opposite, which is God. And it says this, I am come, Jesus, I am come, that they might, they, meaning all those who would choose, all those who would live in the favor of God, I am come that they might have life and have it in abundance. How many want abundant life? It's only found in Jesus, everybody. It's not found in any worldly scheme, influence. It's not found in anything other than Jesus Christ. He says, I am. I am come to give you abundant life. I want to live an abundant life. You know, if it's all for me, I'm sick of living in half in it. If it's all for me, why don't we go all in? You know, it's like eating at a smorgasbord. You know, if Jesus is a smorgasbord, you can't just take what you like and leave the rest. It's all him. You know, it's like the Old Testament, New Testament. I have friends that only read the New Testament. They say, oh, no, the Old Testament's not necessary today. Hey, JoJo, wake up. What's in the new is in the old. What's in the old is in the new. If we don't have the old, we don't have the new. It's one covenant. It's one testament broken up in two dispensations. We need it all. The God of grace is found in 2 Samuel 14:14. He devises ways for an estranged person to be brought near to him or in right relationship with him. Without that, we don't have John 3:16. There's no bearing. There's no foundational grid. God's pretty smart. He's actually under the impression he's God. God's under the impression he's God. How dare he? You know, he's God. And he's designed a way for us to live in optimum lifestyle. Right? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, he will be or he is. Have you ever thought of yourself as a peaceful person? Now, peace can be applied two different ways, externally and internally, and both of them are for us. There's a element that are saying peace, peace, peace. It says in Scripture, they'll say it in the last days, peace, 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 and there is no peace. Actually, prophesy peace, there's no peace. There'll only be peace when Christ returns in its totality. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, so we do not lose heart. He doesn't want us to lose heart. He wants us to be encouraged this morning. Hey, be encouraged. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up and be encouraged. Because it's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to fall asleep when you're focused in day-to-day life. It says this, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. He's renewing us. You know, you're getting stronger than you were yesterday. If you're in Jesus, you're going from strength to strength. Psalm 84, very clear. Until all of us, everyone that chooses, will stand before him in Zion. I'm returning back to where God created me. Hallelujah. He created me in him. He spoke the word, and things became. God can speak the word over your situation, but he wants you to believe. He speaks over your life and say, there's peace. You say, dude, there's chaos. He says, no, I'm above all. I'm in all. I'm in you. I want you to speak to your situation. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Matter of fact, we're told to do so. My inner man is becoming built up. There's different ways you can build up your inner man. I won't get into that so much this morning. It says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not unto the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Do you know the things that we can't see are more real than the things we can? But we're so dictated by what I can see. Hey, the bills aren't paid. Hey, my marriage is on the rocks. Hey, my kid's not listening to me. Hey, my job's in jeopardy. Whoops, I lost my job. Whoops, my car broke. Whoops, I got evicted. Whoops, I've applied 100 times. No one's even called me back. Whoops. And we get our eyes on the temporal seen world and forget. So, don't lose heart. I'm reminding you this morning. I'm reminding myself that there's a God who lives in me, and he's outside there, and he's inside here, and he's a God of peace. And I can choose to live with him and in him or not. This amazing game that I'm not so good at, but I want to be, called chess. Chess is a strategy game. I have a mind that kind of works strategically in some areas. And I love strategy. I love, used to love deciphering ancient battles, historic battles of what went wrong and what went right and how God gave wisdom to man to win the day, all that stuff. But in our opinion, we actually defer back to this default position and say this: you're a little bit more important than I am. You're a little bit smarter, especially in Aussie culture. You can't be seen as having it together, especially guys in high school. You know, they got to act dumb. They know the answers, but they got to score low. Because that's cool. And, you know, you and I have this competition thing or this thing that comes in us that says, well, the guy with a mic is more important than the one sitting in the back seat. The person that's recognized up front or has a name tag that everybody knows, they're more important than the one that nobody knows. If you got a book in Kurong, well, whew, you're really important, and I don't even know how to spell, so I'm less than important. You know, the pawn and the rook, the pawn and the bishop, you know, they're all equally important in the game of chess. The whole thing about chess is two kingdoms fighting one another, and the last one standing after checkmate is declared. That's what you want to do. Do you know God, can I say, is giving an illustration where you and I are like chess pieces. And where God requires us to occupy a space, he takes our life and he places us there. Do you know when I occupy a space, the enemy can't? Because I'm a believer. And you're light. It says you are light and salt. So where he brings light and salt, darkness can't be. So do you know you live where you live because you're God's important chess piece? You're working, you're going to school, you're interacting here in some area, or if you're transient, whatever area you're from. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says we're called light and salt. You are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know when you're living in Jesus, people notice, but a lot of people won't say nothing. But they notice you have a light or you have a peace. You have something about you. They won't even come up with a word. And I was telling the class this week, the Lord just said, I want you to speak about peace this morning. Okay, I'll do it. You know, I had someone locally working in a cafe watching me for 7 years, never saying a word until this year. 7 years. And she said, I've been watching you talk to a lot of different people, and there's this incredible peace when you walk in this place. I want to talk to you. This is the year. I've been waiting 7 years. I never even knew she thought that. She never gave me any inference. How about your life? How many people have been watching you? Because I'm going to tell you something. People watching you. People notice you. Now, don't blame me, because if you accepted Jesus, you got his light in you. I didn't do that. You did that. You invited him in. And to the degree I let the light shine, meaning the degree I embrace the light, his light shines. His light shines. His light shines. You know, he wants there to be no darkness. And so he's placed you here on earth to be light and salt to people who need light and salt. Well, there are 209 scriptures with the word peace mentioned in scripture. The body of Jesus is missing. We got a problem. We can't find Jesus, hey? The disciples, they've gone, woo, they've freaked out. And it can't, you know, the woman can't be right. We can't listen to Mary Magdalene, so, you know, we'll figure this out, man. We'll figure it out, you know. I don't hear any men laughing. Ah, what do you know? You're a woman. Just read the map. Yeah, it says go right. It's lying. It feels left to me. Yeah, six of you can relate. That's awesome. All the rest of you are liars. So the body of Jesus is missing. John 20, 26 through 29. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth is shalom, peace. Why? They aren't in peace. They're worried. They're freaked out. They're, you know, the whole, you know, everything he said, everything he kind of inferred and we didn't get. You know, what happened? He was in there. What's going on? We don't understand. The door is shut. He comes right in the middle. You read, 8 days later, he comes right in. The door is shut. All of a sudden, he walks through the, you know, the building that's supposed to keep everything out. Isn't it funny? I love Jesus because I got walls that are supposed to keep him out. Hey, that guy, he just walks in. Hey, he just walks into my life. No, I don't think you understood, Jesus. That was double walled. I had special paper in between. Hey, I really didn't want you in that part of my life. He says, you ask me in your life, I'm in every part of your life. I see all. I'm in all. I'm above all. God walks in, you know. He says, peace be to you. How about Mark 4? This is great. We had a lot of fun with this at the salt school. There's a full-blown storm on the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever been there, storms come up quick, and they are amazing forces. And so the sea goes crazy. The wind is blowing. Probably the point where, you know, if, you know, it was even playing on the other side of the wave, you wouldn't have been able to see the boat. I mean, they're pretty high, right? And the disciples are screaming like little girls. They're just, you know, panic is at an optimum, right? They are totally worried. Now, here's the thing is, like I said, salt. These guys were not farmers. You know, they weren't clueless of the wind and the rain. You know, God is amazingly wise because he sent Jesus like you and I. He sent Jesus as a man. Do you think that Jesus can't relate to your daily routine? Your needs, your wants, your desires, the distractions. I mean, Jesus came as a man. He can relate. And sailors can relate to what happens on water. And there's guys who are very apt in a boat and are screaming like little girls. That's a big storm. Do you know there's time where we scream like little girls? Men. Women. There are opportunity to panic. And can I say, in the natural, everybody in the natural, in the world, who are human would say, hey, good scream, I'd do the same. You hit the high note. Sounded good. I would have done the same because I'm panicking if that were my relationship or my situation. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. There's a clue. He's sleeping in the boat. And he gets in a position where he's woken up. You know, we're going to die. They're in total panic. And he speaks to the waves and he speaks to the wind. And what does he say? Peace be still. He takes care of the external issue, but he addresses an internal lack. He's saying, well, what about you dudes? Where's your faith? Why didn't you speak to the storm? Because you should have peace in your heart that I'm with you. How about us today? We're freaking out about the external issue. He addresses the internal. How about us today, Flame Tree? How about us? Are we freaking out about the external? And God says, really, the main issue is that you have peace in your heart. I'm with you. I'm in you. What are you freaking out about? Do you know, it concerns God, the condition of my heart, more than the outward pressures of my life. Do you know, a lot of times, God allows the outward pressures of life to come so we see what's in my heart. We see how you're going to react. Because what's inside, when the heat of life turns up, I can tell you're going to be like popcorn and it's going to show. You'll expose every time what's in my heart, where I'm really believing, where I'm really living. It's interesting in Scripture when in the New Testament where peace is applied, it's always talking about your feet. I'm shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Ephesians. You know, where you walk, you're supposed to bring peace, but if you don't have Christ, you have no peace to give. Where you walk, supernaturally, peace goes with you. When you walk into a store, when you walk into a family house, a scenario that you can tell or not tell, your feet bring peace. It's the peace of Christ. Where are we walking? Where has God got you walking today? Where are you going to walk after church? Where are you going to go? I can tell you that God's design is for you to carry peace. Peace is this amazing, tangible, and we're going to see transferable thing he's given us. Do you know you can transfer your peace? Do you know you can leave your peace somewhere, at a place or with a person? How many know that? Raise your hand if you already know that. Some of this might be revelation to people, but Scripture is very clear. You know, church is not coming and getting a sermon and a few songs and seeing the little kids twirl and get my coffee and go home. We're the church. And we're growing in revelation of who our God is. And he's fit us together. We're living stones. And we're living in his glory. We're living in his presence. And that glory and presence has to manifest out of our lives. It has to. It has to, everybody. That's what you're designed for. You are a vessel. It says in Scripture, in Corinthians, you are a jar of clay. What's a jar do? It carries something. It pours something out. You hold something. God wants you to hold his peace. God wants you to hold his anointing, his presence, to make a cause and effect wherever you live. You say, hey, that sounds super spiritual. Hello, you're a spirit having a body experience for 70 years with a decision to make where you'll live forever after that. You're not a body having a spiritual experience. That's called religion. Oh, I'll try Buddha today. I'll try Muhammad today. I tried Jesus. That didn't work. I'll try, you know, because they didn't get saved. They didn't get converted. You can have enough of Jesus to be totally miserable. It's up to you. It's called religion. You know about his name. You know a few scriptures. Maybe touch the fringe of seeing some glory and it spooked you out because, ooh, don't know about that Holy Ghost thing. Remember the smorgasbord? The Holy Ghost is on the smorgasbord. He is God. You can't choose or not choose him. He comes with a package. I'd take more Holy Ghost if I were you. Get your plate a little bit full. Get it all up in there like you're a big old Samoan Tongan rugby player. Get it all up and go for seconds and thirds. John 14:27, Jesus left his peace. He still had peace. You know, God's a God of abundance. I think sometimes we're afraid to pray with people because if we pray with people and anointing goes out, we don't know if we're going to get more. You know? Now I'm going to reserve hugs because I only have a certain amount of hugs. And I met my quota. I got 2 hugs today, and you know, I might not have 3 tomorrow, and I might see my mom later. I got to give her a hug. I've laid hands on 1.5 people. The little guy, he was only 2, so he's 0.5 of a person, so I laid hands on his mama. And the anointing came kind of through, and it's a big week, and I need all the anointing I can. So the gimpy guy, you know, who's limping there, he's on his own, because I don't know. God will touch me, use me. Yeah. Some of you are going to smile and you're going to fall over. I smiled. It's a miracle. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor fear. Peace is what we need to combat fear. If you have peace, you're not afraid of nothing. If you really knew who Jesus was and I knew who Jesus was, fear wouldn't be a concern. Did you really believe that? Like, did you really, man, believe that I was going to be everything you've called me to be? Did you, God, really say that in my life? I don't know. I know you brought me to this point, but I don't know about tomorrow. It could go all pear-shaped. Yeah. I know a way it definitely will go pear-shaped. I guarantee you that if you want to choose to resist God's peace, it will go pear-shaped. Matthew 10. And in whatsoever city or town you shall go or come, inquire who is worthy in it, and there abide till you go. And when you come into a house, salute the same, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Did you know that your peace is transferable? That we can bless people. Let's pray. Lord, I just release the peace of Christ upon this person. Lord, I release the peace of Jesus in this house. You ever walk into a house, nobody's saying a word, but you can feel the tension in the air. They just had a fight. Words were just said. Somebody maybe just got hit, you know. The agitation of the spirit, the pressure cooker of the spirit, whatever's going on, you can feel it tangibly. And God's brought you in there not to just feel that and sense that, but to say, I bless this house with the peace of Jesus. I bless the marriage. I bless the parent and children relationship. I bless this elderly couple, whatever the scenario, a single person, a single mom, a single dad, this widow, this widower, with the peace of Jesus. Do you know we're called to be carriers of the blessing of Jesus? And so many people have this wrong concept that if I bless someone in Jesus' name, I'm endorsing their sin. What a load of hogwash. Oh, baloney. You know? God's never going to endorse someone's sin. But he came to bless people with himself. He came to bless people with his words. He came so that we would be empowered by the Spirit of God, because he had to come and then go. So we have Holy Ghost, and in Holy Ghost he gives gifts, and I can prophesy. And prophecy is to encourage, comfort, and to build up, to strengthen. So I can prophesy over someone's life, not endorsing any negative, but actually having their eyes open to how God wants to bless them. How he wants them to live. He wants them to prosper in peace. Peace in the Holy Ghost. We see in Scripture very clearly that in Romans 14, 17 through 19, it says that the kingdom of God does not mean a drink, but righteousness. Hallelujah, I'm righteous because of Christ. And peace, I'm peaceful, I have peace because I have Sar Shalom in my life. And joy in the Holy Ghost. I have joy because of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit hitting my life. That circumstance doesn't dictate to me if I feel okay. That circumstance will change. This too shall pass. But my God in me will never pass. He's fortifying himself. He wants me to grow in him and allow him to expand his influence in my life. In those doors that I've sealed off, he wants to say, come in. You know, he wants me to say, come in and be the peace that I need. It says, for whosoever in these things, what things? Righteousness, peace, and joy, serves Christ. How are you supposed to serve Christ in those three things? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Is acceptable unto God. How do I want to be acceptable unto God? To live in Christ's salvation, in his peace and in his joy. I don't know if you know this, but I don't have great days every day. I don't know anybody that does. You know? There's circumstance. There's things that come up. There's internal thoughts that come up. Me against me. That competition thing, that comparison thing, that arrogant thing, that low self-esteem, anger, bitterness. You know, there's internal struggles we all have. No one's immune to this. And so God wants us to live a certain way, a certain lifestyle that's acceptable unto him. And also it says approved of men. God wants us to live in this favor. Remember the angels coming and saying there's favor. God wants to those that would say yes to the favor of God. With that comes peace. He wants us to live in this extraordinary peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord himself of peace gave you peace. What? The Lord of peace gave me peace. Where does your peace come from? Not man. You know, it comes from him. Why is it the very thing I need, I resist? It's called stubbornness. Do you know that when Jesus returns on the face of the earth, stubbornness is so strong, there'll be people where Jesus is ruling and reigning on the earth as supreme commander, and people will still resist him because of the stubbornness of their heart. You're a special kind of stupid, eh? That's not stupid. That's a special kind of stupid. That's a special level of stupid. Wow. Hey? How many of you like pain? Really like pain? Love pain? Fair enough. Right? Right? Pain. There's pain that comes with life, and there's pain that's self-inflicted. God wants to remove the pain that's self-inflicted. Jesus only wants to love us. He only wants to fill us with all and more of Him. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope, which means expectation, the God of expectation. I expect God to be God. Do you know that? Because he's under the impression he's God. Matter of fact, he's more than that. He is God. Now the God of expectation fill you. There you are, a vessel to be filled with him. He wants to fill you. I want to expect. I want to be a person that expects him to fill me with what? All joy. That's what it says. All joy and peace. In who? In believing. Believing who? Jesus. That you may abound, mean overflowing, living in abundance, and that's John 10. He wants to give you life and life more abundant. It's only found in him. So he wants us to overflow and have more than enough. His anointing is more than enough. I can pray over 1 million people and still have anointing flowing through my life for 1 million more, 1 billion more, 1 trillion more. I'd collapse. Physically, probably. Somebody'd have to lift my hand. You pray for 1 trillion people? There are not 1 trillion people around, thankfully. But God is still able to flow 1 trillion people's worth of anointing through your life. Or more. He's a God of abundance. That you may abound, overflow with abundance. In what? In expectation, in hope. Are we really expecting God to do this revival thing in my own life and then the rest of you get to come along? It's got to start with me, man. Or are we playing religion? Yeah, dude, I'm just showing up. I'm sitting in my pew looking good. I'm making it look good. I'm here. Just make it look good. Through what? Through the power of man. No, that's not what Scripture says. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's that Holy Ghost again. Man, dude, he's everywhere. You can't get rid of that guy. Every turn around in the Bible, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. He is God on the face of the earth today. He's the one that empowers me. But he's the one that actually introduces me to Jesus so I move in true authority. Because authority and power are two different things. We'll always see power ebb and flow. But if I'm really in relationship with Jesus, I have authority in Jesus. Now I can really command things to move. And authority only comes by me developing my relationship. I know my authority in Jesus to the point I know I can leave my peace. I know I can pray with people and bless them in Jesus' name with shalom, peace. And something happens. The raging of their brain, the raging of their emotions stops. We've seen hundreds of people set free with leaving my peace who's in Christ on a person or in a person. Try it. Try it. The next time your son or daughter or grandkid goes bonkers, why don't you just administer the anointing of peace in this situation and see what happens. I remember I got a call out when I was a youth pastor back in the United States. And this kid was orbit. I mean, he was, lost the plot and found other plots and lost them. This guy was gone, you know. Kid was 18, he's 6'5", a monster of a kid, inside linebacker. I suspected he was on steroids, and so he was in rage, and he got ticked off, and he had ripped a door off its hinge, and his mother called me. Call the cops, please, next time, just call cops. Anyway, so he calls me and said, just get out of the house, do whatever. He's just going nuts. And so... the Lord had said to me, just say, peace be still. Okay, but can I do it outside the house? Because this guy's big, dude. He's big. And he's all hyped up. And okay, just say, peace be still. Okay. I'll start now. Peace be still in Jesus' name. You know, I'm right driving there. And I get there. His mother's nuts. She has called the cops. And the cops are staying outside. They're just saying, we just need, let them come, you know, down. Calm down. You know, it's he's just gone off his head. Neighbors have come. And so I asked the policeman, I said, do you mind if I just go to the door? I just want to yell something in. And they said, no, we don't advise you do that. I said, really, his mom has called me. Believe it or not, I'm his youth pastor, and I just need to do this. And he said, okay. And so I went to the door, didn't go right to the door, went to the step up because he was there. He had heard, and he was coming up, and he'd come back and forth and yell and be vile and everything. And I just yelled, peace be still. Didn't even say Jesus' name because I was there in Jesus' name. The Lord didn't tell me to say in Jesus' name. I said, peace be still. Within a minute, he came out like nothing happened. Within a minute. Comes out, and the cops start talking to him. And, you know, he's damaged his own house. His mother doesn't want to press charges, so there's nothing to do. And we have a chat. And, you know, I've seen God do some amazing things, leaving your peace in situations that, can I say, circumstance, the world would say, run, do something else. We live in an amazing day that God wants agents of salt and light sprinkled throughout our daily routine. Oh, wait a minute. You're in your daily routine. He's chosen you to be in that daily routine. Guess what that means? You're the agent of salt and light. You're the agent of peace. We're going to finish a little different today. I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and just release Christ, who is your peace, to bless that person. So that is whatever you want to do that, just release your peace or just say, I bless you in the peace of Christ or with the peace of Christ or the shalom of God. And just let him do his thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. May the peace of Jesus be yours more and more. I bless you in Jesus' name. May the shalom of God be the growing in your life. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Share the peace of Christ with others. If you would like prayer, there'll be people up here on my left to pray with you. If you want a prophetic ministry, a word of encouragement or comfort or strength, there'll be a team here on my right. God bless you real good and have a lot of fun being continued light and salt on the face of the earth. God bless you. Come back tonight and hear Hannah Little preach, 6 p.m.
Tonight, I really love you. I love you tonight.